go on and on about the beautiful and profound mysterious doctrines of the church and the nature of God, how God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons and one divine nature, how God is love, how God gave his only Son so that we might have eternal life, that God's nature is the sheer act of being itself, or how God is a community of persons. But what does that all mean? These can seem like distant teachings that don't really have anything to do with our lives. God is Trinity, so what's that to me? And it's a really good question. I want to start by looking at just how incredible a world we live in. It's amazing how many things we have. If you compare our time now to any time in the past in history, we are the wealthiest we've ever been, especially in this country. We have more wealth than we know what to do with it. We have far more food than we know what to do. I mean, we have a problem of being too fat. That has never really been a problem in human history. Usually it was only the wealthiest, the kings, maybe, that were fat, and that was it. And so we are generally not lacking in material things. But yet, Mother Teresa, who's a wonderful saint, she worked with the poorest of the poor in India, and she said something really striking when she came to the U.S. to found one of her houses here, and it was really astounding. She said, "The spiritual poverty here in the West, especially in the United States, is greater than the physical poverty of her people in India." And mind you, her order, what she does there, what they do in India is they would actually pick up people lying in the streets who were dying, who had nobody to love them, nobody to care for them, no medicine to give them. They were really the untouchables of their society. And she said that our spiritual poverty is far worse than that, which is astounding. And it begs the question, what exactly then is spiritual poverty? What does that all mean? And it's not lacking in physical goods. It's clearly not that. It's something else. And it really, in its essence, is a deprivation or missing, a lacking of a relationship either with people or with God. It's isolation, essentially, in other words. And we felt this most acutely, really, during COVID. COVID was a time all over the world, universal, where we all experienced in varying degrees, a sense of isolation. We were around in the midst of our lives, going grocery shopping, doing our things, and all of that was cut off. Everything changed. We were told to quarantine and stay at home, and our life stopped. And really nothing has happened like that in any of our lives before. We were cut off from our school communities, from work communities, people we saw at the grocery store, people at church, everything stopped. We were all told to separate. And we couldn't even bury our dead. We couldn't visit loved ones in the hospital. We couldn't hug somebody out of fear of this virus. And we couldn't even console people who were grieving. And we lived this spiritual poverty in a more real way than we have before, and it's a universal experience, really, throughout the world. And there's really only two options that you can approach, only two ways you can really take it. You could have COVID either be this negative experience, you could become jaded and cynical, or you could find hope in Christ and look where Christ is trying to use the trial, the suffering, as an opportunity to bring about a greater good through it. And that seems like a tall order, because it is. And yeah, we felt this, mainly this lacking of community. We yearn for it. If you look at all of human history, we come together, we build villages, nations, cities, towns, cultures. Like, we naturally, as human beings, come together. We need community. If we recall back in the garden, back at the very beginning of our creation, when God made man and woman, he made us in his image. And there was only one time in the whole creation narrative where God says something is not good. And it's when he makes Adam. And he makes Adam and says, it is not good for the man to be alone, for man to be alone. And so he creates Eve from his side to be his companion. And he institutes marriage. He institutes the family. Because we need community. Because God is community. And that's whose image we are made in. We yearn for this. And Pope Benedict, to talk on this, also said, one of the deepest forms of poverty that one can experience is isolation. And he said something interesting about material poverty. He said that it's also born from isolation. It's either people who have difficulty being loved or loving other people. And it's really, it stems off from this tendency of, from original sin, concupiscence, for man to curve in on himself, to think, oh, I'm good, I don't need any help, I'm independent, like I can do this on my own. But that's just a lie. We are not made in that way. We're made in God's image, and God does not act in that way. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense for us to even say such an absurd thing. And it's these relationships where we find who we are. There's a beautiful church document where it says, man cannot fully find himself unless he gives of himself to the other. That's when we find who we are, when we live relationship with one another, when we live friendship, when we live and strive after the good for another person. That's when we discover who we are. And every married person here can attest to that. Like, you don't realize how selfish you are or how wounded and weak you are until you try to live with another person and give of yourself and just love somebody. You realize how much you have to grow, but how beautiful a struggle it really is. And you discover that in any friendship, anyone who has a good friend, like, you know this to be true. And our mission, so at the end of every Mass, we all have the same mission. We're given this mission, this call, at the end of Mass when the deacon or father says, go forth and announce the gospel of the Lord. We're to share this good news. We know our world is so broken. We know it's so wounded. And that so many people don't know that they are loved and that they are worthy of love. That they are made in God's image. A God who is a community of persons. A God who seeks after us, a God who gave his only son so that we might be saved, so that we might be in relationship with him and with all humanity. We have somebody who is always advocating for us and who never leaves us orphans. So I want to offer you this challenge or invite you this week to reach out to somebody that you know, somebody who is struggling either with depression or just doesn't really have a lot of friends and could really use somebody to listen and just to visit, to just, yeah, pray and think about them and do something with them, either go out to dinner, grab a coffee, go on a walk in a park, just do something together, just to show that they are worthy of love and that you do love them. Because so many people in our world are missing that, and we all know somebody in our lives who perhaps just isn't aware of that. And by just sharing life together with them, we can help them to see that they are made in God's image, that they are worthy of love, because they're made in the image of an infinitely lovable God, and therefore they are infinitely lovable. Just as all of us here are today. And that's something so important to remember and to recall frequently, that we are infinitely lovable. And we always, always have the greatest news to share with the entire world, especially as we leave this Mass today.